I want you to turn in your Bibles today, if you would, to the book of Luke, and I'm certainly honored to be here. Brother Raines is we have worked together for years now in the Bible College, and I appreciate him so much and his family, and like I said, it's just an honor to be with you. Luke chapter 10 is where I want to be tonight. I know we just got through praying, but it's my habit to ask the Lord to help me as I try to teach and preach the Word. So if you would join with me, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer again and ask for His help tonight. Fathers, we bow before You. I'm thankful for this day and Your blessings. I just ask You now, Lord, that You'd help me. I've tried to be obedient in this passage, Lord, and in the message that I brought to share with them tonight. And I just ask You that You'd help me, give me liberty and a power from on high, and that You would speak to me and through me and to the heart of every individual in this building. Please, Lord, accomplish Your will in us and help us. And Lord, just strengthen our homes, our walk with You, and we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to begin reading, and then I'm always, I don't know, I feel sometimes odd, I guess, using a very familiar passage and a very familiar story, but I don't want us to allow the familiarity of it to keep us from the truth of it. So let's look at verse number 38 of Luke chapter 10. And the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he," that's talking about Jesus, "that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" I want to begin by mentioning a few things about this home. And I realize that this home that's talked about here is not a husband and wife relationship that we find. But I believe the subject that I'll be dealing with tonight is something that touches really every relationship in the home and really affects us in every area of our life. I find in my own ministry, and I like saying this up front, the Lord has really been wearing me out for a while over this passage of Scripture and what I'm going to be dealing with, because I have not arrived yet. So I am setting up the goal tonight, you might say. And I guess if we ever, as pastors and preachers, if we ever preached anything that we weren't guilty of, I'd be surprised. So I hate to say it that way, but I struggle with what I'm going to be dealing with. And I find that what I'm going to deal with tonight, it really puts pressure in my own home. And so I hope that God will help us to relieve some of that and to get rid of some of that. And I won't say any more about it, but let's look at the Scripture. We understand from verse number 38 that this house was Martha's house. And the Bible says that she received him, that is Jesus, into her house. Now, I looked that word "received" up, and it means to admit under one's roof. And it literally, Strong said, means to entertain hospitably. Now that's important, because I am sure that she felt responsible for the guests that came to her house that day. I don't know if she had any warning that they were coming, But I will say this, the scripture is very clear, and when I looked that definition of her receiving him up, I found it interesting that it used the words to entertain hospitably. I say that because hospitality is a biblical principle. Listen to these verses, 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And so there is at least two verses that tell us that in some measure hospitality is our responsibility. It is a duty that is, it's a Christian duty of ours to show hospitality. So in that sense, that's exactly what Martha was doing. She was doing her Christian duty, I believe. And I want you to notice the Bible goes on to tell us in this text that in verse number 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word much is used there. She was very busy and sparing no cost or pains. It means that she was going all out for her special guest. And of course, the word serving there is an important word. It's also translated ministry in Romans 12:7. So she was busy with a lot of ministry. There was a lot, apparently, of work to be done. I don't know all that she was doing. I can speculate that she was cooking or cleaning or trying to provide maybe a meal for her guests. I don't know all that she was doing. But can I just say it like this? It is great that we have people that are willing to serve. And it is awesome that we have individuals that want to do something. And I'm glad that there are people that are willing to carry their load and to do their duty. But I just want to begin by saying that I believe Martha was simply fulfilling her responsibilities. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is there is a danger that is revealed in this text. She was doing her duty and fulfilling her responsibility, but verse number 40 says she was cumbered by it. That's an important word. It means to drag about, to distract with care. It means that she was loaded, perplexed, troubled, hindered, and burdened. Now think about those words that I just used. Being cumbered. Are there things that get into our lives that cause us to be perplexed or distracted with care, that trouble us, that hinder us, that burden us? And the Bible says that she was cumbered about much serving. That word about even implies all around or all over. And many times the things that burden us, that load us, that cumber us are things that are all around us. Everywhere you look, things are complicated often and burdensome and a load to carry in our life. And so her hospitality became a hindrance to her. Her biblical responsibility had become her biggest burden, it seems, in this situation. And I say this again, the Lord, He is continuing to work in my own heart, because I find that many times my duties as a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a daddy, a husband, they are biblical responsibilities. They are my duties. They are things that I have to take care of. But I find so many times those are the things that began to cumber me. They weigh on me. They affect me. And that's exactly what is happening in this text of Scripture. Just bear with me a few minutes. But here's the thing. Our duties can become our distraction.
But serving the Lord should never come before the Lord. So there's a danger when we get so busy laboring and working and fulfilling our responsibilities. If I were to put it in today's language, it might sound like this: cooking and cleaning and changing diapers and taking care of the grass and going to work and all of the things that we have to do in the course of our life. If there is a danger of those things burdening us down and cumbering us, and that certainly has an effect in our life. I find then there is division that takes place as a result of this in the home. I would say that the devil's number one tactic in the home and in the church is to divide and conquer. If the devil can put a wedge in our home between husband and wife, between parents and children, if the devil can put a wedge in there and begin to divide us from each other, what that does is it gives him room to operate in our family. That's a dangerous thing. We have to understand tonight that we have an enemy, the Bible says, that walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for that opportunity. He is looking for that room to operate in your home. He wants to divide as best he can. And sometimes, I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but sometimes he does it through the pressures of our own responsibilities. That's a real danger. Notice then what happened when she began to get cumbered by those things that she felt was her duty, her responsibility. Notice verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him. She was cumbered and came to him. Well, that sounds good, and it is good. I'm glad she did come to him. But here's the thing about what I read here. She didn't seek the Lord until she felt like the burden of her responsibility was so heavy she couldn't carry it by herself. Are we the kind of individuals in life that we are going to just be so busy about good things as a pastor, being a husband, praying, studying, teaching, preaching, traveling, doing this and doing that, and let the things that are not sin in and of themselves, but if we're not careful, we allow those things to pile on top of us, and we so cumber ourselves with those things that we are, I'm getting ahead of myself, we are forsaking the more important things. And oftentimes, we will not seek the Lord like we ought to until those things about to make us bust. Now, you tell me how many mamas and how many daddies and so on and so forth in the home have been so cumbered about with so many things. And you know we live in a fast-paced society. They didn't have microwaves and dishwashers and all of that in those days. If anybody ought to have time to sit on the porch, we ought to. Hello? We don't have to wash clothes like this anymore. Hello? But we don't have time to breathe, do we? And when we look at our life, you know what we mostly see? Our duties, our responsibilities. And they cumber us. Now, I'm thankful she went to the Lord, but she didn't go with the right attitude. You know, in essence, what she did was use the Lord like a spare tire. I'm cumbered, I'm burdened, I need some help with this, I'm about to bust. Now, Lord, you're going to have to do something about this. I'm telling you, you, I don't know how you're taking this, but the Lord has wore me out with it. Hello? And it's going to get worse before it gets better. So here's the thing. Why didn't she just go to him and ask for some spiritual help? I'll tell you why. Because she was so distracted by her duty. She was so focused on the work. That was all that was filling her mind. She left the more important things off, and instead of asking Jesus for Mary's help physically, she should have been asking him for help spiritually. I want you to notice too, then also think about it this way. What happened when she got cumbered, it made her get concerned about what everybody else was doing. When she went to Jesus, she said to him, "Dost thou not care?" You know what that means? I care. When she goes to the Lord, "You don't care what my sister's doing?" That means I care what she isn't doing. Is that not right? You know what will happen when you get loaded down with care and you're looking at all your burdens and all the load you're having to carry? It'll cause you to get your eyes off the Lord and start looking around and see what everybody else is doing. See what my wife's doing and not doing. See what my husband's doing and not doing. Seeing what my children's doing and not doing. You see how this can cause friction in the home? You see how this can start to cause a wedge in the home, division in the home? It absolutely can. And then I notice in this text of Scripture, it didn't just make her concerned about what others were doing, it also made her critical about what Mary was doing or not doing. She said, "My sister hath left me to serve alone." Now that didn't mean that Mary never served, it didn't mean that Mary never did anything, just at this moment, Mary was not doing what Martha thought she ought to be doing. I'm trying to be honest, now you be honest. There ever been a time when you thought your husband wasn't doing what he ought to be doing? I got a few honest nods. Ever been a time when you thought your wife wasn't doing what you thought she ought to be doing? Did that kind of fire you up a little bit? Did you think to yourself, if I could just get a little help with this, I wouldn't be quite so burdened? I wouldn't be in quite such a bad shape? We ought to just stop right here and just ask the Lord to forgive us. Because we've all been there. We've all been guilty of this. You see why I said, this is the target. I hadn't arrived yet. Lord, help us all. She wasn't doing at this time what Martha thought she ought to be doing. And the funny thing, well, it's not really funny, but she really wasn't just critical of Martha. She was actually critical of the Lord. You say, how? She said to him, "Doth thou not care? Do you not care?" You know what the devil will do? He'll hop up on your shoulder and he'll say, "You got all this weight on you. You've got all this load on you. And your husband don't care, or your wife don't care. And not only that, the Lord don't care either. Nobody cares that you're carrying all this load and got all this responsibility. Nobody cares about that." And I'm telling you, there's been people that have cracked. There's been churches split, homes split, and on over just exactly the kind of pressure that Satan can get us under just doing our duties, just our responsibilities. When we get distracted by our duty, we can become critical of the best of people. She was critical of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I think if she could be critical and say to herself or say to him to his face, "Don't you care?" I would say that it's possible for anybody in this building to look at somebody in our own family or somebody in our own church, and even the preacher, some of the best of individuals in our homes and stuff, and say, "Don't you even care about what's going on with me?" I'm talking about division. There is a danger when our duty becomes such a load to us and such a focus to us that it will start to cause division among us. And I think about what she said, does Jesus care? That takes me back a lot of years to Brother Buster Seaton that preached that message years ago about does Jesus really care, I think was the title of it. We sing that song, oh yes, he cares. What could bring an individual to ask Jesus if he cared? Those kind of pressures in life can do that. And so when the weight of our responsibilities gets so heavy on us that it causes us to lash out to those around us, I'll tell you what Satan's doing. He's clapping and rejoicing over that. She didn't just get critical of the Lord. She actually commanded the Lord. She said, bid her therefore that she help me. She started telling Jesus what to do. You ever been there? You ever looked at your spouse and start telling them what they ought to be doing, what they ought not be doing? It happens, does it not? It's quiet in here tonight. I don't know if you're getting it or I'm the only one guilty of it or what. But Martha wanted Mary to help her. She wanted the aid of her sister. And I know we've all been to the place where we just thought, if I could just get a little help, that would take care of my worries. I wouldn't have anything to worry about. If I could just get a little more help, I wouldn't have anything to worry about. We have to be careful about the division that's caused here because a critical spirit is also a corrupting spirit. It'll corrupt you and make you mean and ugly. A critical spirit is a contagious spirit. It'll spread to those around you. You get critical in the home, they're going to get critical back. It'll start spreading. A critical spirit is a consuming spirit. It'll eat at you day after day after day. And over a period of time, I say it again, homes have been destroyed because of what I'm dealing with today. We get our eyes off the Lord. We get our eyes on the load. We're cumbered about with our duties and everything of our daily life, just trying to take care of our family, take care of our guests, take care of our job, and all the things that we got to take care of. And before you know it, we are critical. It begins to wear us out. It begins to hurt us and consume us. And a critical spirit is also a complaining spirit. Basically, what Martha is saying is, poor old me. I'm the only one that cares. I'm the only one that does anything. And I think in a way, Martha was putting herself above Mary in saying, you know, she needs to be doing what I'm doing. So may the Lord help us to be aware of these things. But I find in this text there is a defense against this. There is a deliverance from this. There's a way to avoid these dangers. And I find this in verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, you're right, Martha. I'm just going to send Mary in there to help you. Is that what he said? I can almost hear him call her name. Martha, Martha. Can't you hear that? I think that was probably, the way he said this, was probably a statement of appreciation for her care and concern. I mean, I think he probably appreciated the fact that she cared about her responsibility, that she cared about providing for him. I think it was probably a statement of association with her feelings. I mean, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it is to carry a heavy load of responsibility. And he did not just dismiss her from his presence. And he didn't just rebuke her and send her away for what she said. I think it was probably a statement, what he said, of affection. Because he knew she was missing out on something that Mary was enjoying. He never fed that old monster of a critical complaining and self-pitying spirit in her. But here's what he said to her. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Have you ever thought about the word careful? What does that word mean? It literally means to be full of care. He looks at Martha and he says, you are full of care. You are careful about many things. You've got a lot of things on your mind. A lot of things that you care about. And I'm glad people care. Don't misunderstand, but in this sense, it's not a good thing to be full of care and loaded down with care. He says you're troubled. That means disturbed, agitated, afflicted, annoyed. Do you have a mind that's full of care tonight? I'll be honest with you. My daughter got married Saturday. I can't talk much about it. I'll be crying on the stage. But I've been doing premarital counseling, and I had four real good points that I thought the Lord was going to let me share with you tonight. But honest, as I was trying to pray and seek God's face about what He'd have me to do, I really felt in my heart He pointed me toward this passage of Scripture, and I thought in my heart, you know, I kind of argued with Him a little bit. You ever done that? I said, Lord, you know. But I really wondered. I thought maybe there's somebody that's going to be in that group tonight that is really loaded down and troubled with care. That you are full of care and it has caused you to be ugly to others, even around your own house. You are loaded down with care and you feel like, I just need some help. I just need somebody to pick up the slack and take some of this load off of me. I want you to look at this, and in our minds, if we could go back to this text of Scripture or to the event that's recorded here and think about what is happening. How does Jesus handle Martha? He doesn't sympathize with her in that. He's not saying that, yes, you need to take some of these things off of you, and yes, you need some more help in these areas. He's not sympathizing with that train of thought. So let's look a little bit further and see what he does have to say. But I would ask again, would you be honest about your situation tonight? Has it caused division in your home? Have you lashed out at your husband, your wife, your children as a result of the load that you are cumbered with? This might be a good time to go ahead and say it like this. What I am seeing today in our high-paced, high-pressure society, we've got people that are working 7 days a week. I don't even see how it's possible for people to work 7 days a week, week in and week out. And the kind of pressure that brings on the individual and in the home, what I'm seeing sometimes is, especially in the church, it's not the sinful things that's dividing and destroying our homes. We're being loaded down with these kind of cares, and that's what's causing the division in our home. Look at what he said in verse 42. But one thing is needful. He said, in essence, you are troubled about many things, but there's only one thing that you need. The word needful means demanded or lacking or necessary. You know what he's in essence saying? He's saying, Martha, everything you're troubled about is not necessary. Everything you're burdened about is really not needful. There's only one thing that's needful, he said. He was telling her that if she would choose the needful thing, she wouldn't have to worry about the many things. I don't know how much time we got, but you could write this down and look it up. But if you go over to Matthew chapter 6, you remember in that passage of Scripture all that is said there?
Mate, let's just look at it. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I hope this will be a help to you. Look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm not going to read all of it. Let's just look at verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You know what that word thought is right there? It's that same word, careful. Don't be full of care for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking, there it is again, thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Can I just stop right here? Mary, or Martha, if you're all loaded down with this care, you be encumbered and troubled about all of these things, is that helping a thing? Is that making anything better? You being ill, you being critical, you commanding the Lord, you don't wonder and thinking everybody else is not doing what they ought to be doing, you're the only one, poor old me, doing it all? Verse 28, and why take you thought for raiment? But you say, but preacher, but my family has to eat, and I have to eat, and we have to be clothed, and I have to get the clothes ironed, and the clothes washed, and preacher, I have to go to work to provide for my family something to eat. All those are good things. There's nothing wrong. And they are your duty. But there's a danger in letting the duty distract you from that needful thing. Look on with me. Let's just skip down to verse 34. We got to back up verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. So much to be said about this. Martha had a lot on her mind. Mary just had one thing on her mind. I believe that our mental well-being is at stake. There is a reason why in America tonight we probably are popping more pills than any other nation in this world. You know why? Most of it is a mental battle that's taking place. Pressures. Cumbered with cares. You get it? I say this again. Families have split. Churches have split. But I believe if we could get our mind full of the Lord, we won't be full of care about everything else. Listen, it's not the outward service that's the problem. It's not the service. It's not the separation. It's not the standards. It's the inward spirituality that's the problem. You might say it like this. Martha was backslid with the Lord in her house. And so I say that one of the lessons that's in this passage is, it is not always the sinful things of this world that get us away from God and cause division in our home. He said, Mary had chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. The word chosen there implies that the choice was Mary's.
It was a conscious decision of hers. It's not something she did without thinking. I believe that after considering everything around her, and I'll kind of walk you through that in just a second, but after considering everything around her and considering her choices and the consequences of them, I believe she chose wisely. He said she has chosen that good part. Well, what is that good part? I believe it's described to us in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, can I just kind of assume what can I use a little bit of Jarvis imagination? I'm almost done. Bear with me. Maybe this was just a room, one-room house, but let's modernize it a little. Let's give it two rooms. A kitchen and a living room. I don't know where they slept. Just bear with me. So the guests come in. Maybe Jesus goes to the living room. Maybe he beckons people to sit down. I can see Martha in my mind standing in the door of the kitchen. I mean, not Martha, Mary. Standing in the door of the kitchen. Martha's in there. She's getting with it. And Mary's has a choice to make. Do I get in here and help Martha and cook or clean or whatever, prepare the meal? I don't know what all she was doing. She sees Jesus sit down in there, maybe beckon people to sit down. And maybe in her mind she says to herself, you know, he doesn't do this very often. And if I pass up this opportunity, I might not get another one for a while. And I think she maybe, if you'll allow me to put it in kind of in modern terms, maybe she's thinking that, the dishes can wait. The food can wait. He'll be leaving soon. I want to take advantage of the opportunity that I have. And she chose wisely to go in there and sat at his feet. Now I get to thinking about Martha. It's her home, her responsibility, her duty. And maybe if it had been me and I find myself, I preach myself under conviction, like I said. Here's our mentality sometimes. Well, I'll just hurry up and get this done and I'll get in there as quick as I can. Or I'll just, you know, before I read my Bible or before I just take a little time to sit at his feet this morning, I think I'll just run do this right quick. And I'll get right in there just as soon as, you know that never happens. You know as soon as you get distracted, one thing leads to another and the phone rings and something breaks and before you know it, you have missed the opportunity. And so for the rest of the day, you're cumbered about with all of those cares. And Mary's sitting in there with one thing on her mind. And Martha's still in the kitchen trying to hurry because she cares. She wants to be a part of that, I'm sure. She's not disinterested. She's just got a lot to do. And Jesus' words to her should be so convincing and convicting to us. That good part. And I wonder how many times I have let my duty pull me away from spending time sitting at his feet and listening to his word. Our minds continue to be careful and troubled about everything, but if we're not careful, even the care of our own family will cause us to neglect our soul. And there's always consequences from that. But Mary draws comfort and strength and peace and grace from her time with him. I say this, he is a cure for a careful mind. And we must consciously make the right choice. Now, I want to give you a couple more things. I'm almost done. I don't mean to keep lying to you. Nobody has ever said, at the end of the day, I spent too much time at his feet today. Nobody has ever said, I did not get everything I needed to done because I spent too much time at his feet. You may not get everything you want to done, but you will get everything you need to done. There's a big difference. Because by God's grace and help, he will give you the strength. He will help you through the day. And though you may not get everything you want to done, you'll get done what he needs you to get done. He will make your work effective. But so many times we choose unwisely and we wonder why our load is too much to carry. He said to her, Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And really, in essence, that we're the only ones that can take that away. They could take our Bible away. They could throw us in jail all alone by ourselves. But they can't keep us from sitting at his feet and enjoying his fellowship. They cannot take it away. I've wondered on this day, did Jesus stop by that house that day because he knew there'd be at least one that would sit down and listen to what he had to say? I wonder if maybe there's been times when the Lord wanted to meet with me, but he just passed on by because he knew I was too cumbered about with everything else instead of going, stopping by the house to meet with me. This took place in her house. We're not talking about just, it affects the church, but we're talking about our homes tonight. That's what this is about, is it not? Don't let your duty become your distraction. Listen to this statement. I don't know where it came from, but I wish I could take credit for it. Ruth found more at Boaz's feet than she did in his field. I like it. You say, but I got to get all this done, preacher. You just get at his feet. You'll find more there than you ever will working yourself to death in the field. Oh, Lord, help me. Help us, Lord. You know what the Lord can do? He can make your duty a delight. There's a warning here for people with a servant's heart. You get that? Martha thought the work was most important. Mary thought the word was most important. Martha was concerned about the bread in the oven. Mary was concerned about the bread of heaven. And I really believe if we would just sit at his feet, we will find out that he is bigger than all of our cares. Bigger than all of those things that load us down and work us to death. You know what? It's a choice that we make every day. And I believe our homes and our happiness depends on making the wise and the right choice. I'm finished, preacher.